Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's hour number two of a Wednesday Live right here on the Early Line. It's Ben, it's Donnie, all across the Sports Grid Network. Still 2 hours to go up until 11 a.m. Eastern Time. We will continue to set the stage for the NFL playoff picture. We are just a few days away, in fact, three from Super Wild Card Weekend beginning. A doubleheader on Saturday, a tripleheader, triples are better, that's three on Sunday, and a Monday Night Football game to end out the opening weekend of the NFL postseason. I wasn't here yesterday, of course, after a long day on Monday for the national championship in college football. Shout out to our guys, DRS and Gerineri, for holding down the fort. So let me just take you behind the scenes, Donnie, what my Monday or Tuesday afternoon rather looked like. I got back from New Jersey after only a few hours of sleep, took a big nap in the afternoon. I woke up to the news that I was shocked by. The Tennessee Titans fired Mike Vrabel. Now, we knew Black Monday was a day prior. We knew there was going to be some coaching changes around the NFL. Vrabel's name had even been floated in certain coaching rumors that if a change was going to happen in New England, meaning his former head coach and boss Bill Belichick was going to be let go or they decided to move on, Vrabel had some interest in maybe returning to lead this Patriots organization. But that was all speculation. For him to be fired in Nashville, what are the Titans doing? Mike Vrabel, in his 6 seasons at the helm of Tennessee, widely regarded as one of the best young coaches in the National Football League. Let's welcome in that Sports Grid Radio audience here listening on Sirius XM Channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold. I am Ben. He is Donnie. Donnie, can you riddle me what the Tennessee Titans were thinking by letting go of Mike Vrabel yesterday?
Yeah, just a bad move all across the board. Number one, like Mike Vrabel goes into that end of year, you know, hey, what's the team going to look like in the offseason? Here's what my game plans are. And then they say, well, by the way, that's all fine and good, but you're fired here. So you didn't expect going into it that this was going to be a separation. And also from inside the building, the leak sources out there, shocked when your football guys in the building are shocked when your head coach is fired. That's never a good thing. But also take a look at Vrabel. What did you want him to do with Tennessee? And Tennessee was one of those football teams that when you knew you took them on, regardless of how talented they were, you were going to get their best punch time and time again. They're playing for nothing last weekend, end up with a great performance against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who if they would have won, would have went to the playoffs and had a division championship. And also, do you know when things really get messed up, Ben? Where the spin now for the Tennessee Titans is, yeah, well, we could have traded them, which probably meant at least a second or third round pick from another organization. And they said, well, we just didn't want to wait like 6 or 7 days. We wanted to do it quickly here. And it just brings like such terrible vibes, like saying, look, okay, you could have actually moved him in a week, did an extensive search for a new head coach, and had yourself, let's just say, a second-round draft pick to go along with and be like, ah, what's the big deal here? We'll just cut him loose, and he's going to be signed immediately by somebody else. Horrendous move by the Titans for me, Ben.
there will be teams that would have traded for Mike Vrabel. There were reports yesterday from The Athletic's Diana Russini and only at The Athletic that there was maybe some speculation that it would be too complicated for the front office brass in Nashville to try to make a trade for Vrabel to get back draft capital, of which it would have been plentiful. Sean Payton got a first-round pick last year to be in the Mile High City. And I'm glad you bring up the underdog approach under Vrabel. Always had his guys ready to play. Of course, they won outright as a 3.5-point home underdog in Sunday's regular season finale to snatch the AFC South championship out of the hands of the Jacksonville Jaguars. They won 6 games this year, and they were still 6-7-1 against the spread. Last year was a disaster for Tennessee. They were 7-4, firmly in first in the AFC South, lost their final 6 games of the regular season. An injury to Ryan Tannehill squandered away their chances of winning the division for a second consecutive year. So 2 straight losing seasons for Vrabel in Tennessee. His first 4, they won and had a winning season each and every season. It was a 41-24 record that even 3 years ago now, 2021's NFL campaign, the Titans were the number 1 overall seed in the AFC. And as an underdog, I shared this at the start of the show, 17 of 32 NFL organizations in the past 6 seasons since Vrabel became the head coach in Nashville since the start of 2018, 17 of 32 NFL teams, Donnie, have been booked as an underdog 50 or more times. Only one team has 25 or more outright victories as an underdog of that group of 17, and it is the Titans, and it's not just 25, it's 27 for Tennessee. Mike Vrabel was a wildly successful football coach, working with a lot less at times. I was stunned by the move. Mike Vrabel is probably the hottest commodity now in the coaching ranks, maybe next to Jim Harbaugh, and who knows what happens with Bill Belichick in New England. But that's not the only question that Tennessee has to answer this offseason. Derrick Henry spoke to the crowd in Nashville following their regular season upset victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars. It is pretty much thought, Donnie, that Derrick Henry has played his last game as a member of the Titans. Still ran for over 1,100 yards this year and 12 touchdowns. Wherever the king goes next, he's still got some legs to be a successful back in the National Football League.
Yeah, one of the greats there of the past decade in the NFL, no doubt about that. But also, you're looking at a new time here, and it's Rand Carthon's team. Who knows if he even made the decision to actually move on from Mike Vrabel. But now you no longer have Mike Vrabel as your coach. Ryan Tannehill is going to move on as your quarterback, and Derrick Henry. So there's going to be a lot of open jobs. And quite frankly, does that mean, hey, man, Tajay Spears is going to lead the next new millennium here for the Titans? I don't know about that. And how about we sold on Will Levis? I'm not sold on him. Malik behind him? No, we're not sold on him either. So good luck in this. And also, we're not good at making trades. Oh, it's just too hard to make trades. Yeah, apparently, that is a problem with Tennessee. When you moved on from A.J. Brown for a couple of dollars and said, hey, Treylon Burks going to fill right in here and be a dominant wide receiver. This organization has made questionable move after questionable move. And the only guy that was always left holding the bag, giving you an honest effort, was your head coach, Mike Vrabel. You're going to cut him loose. He's going to find a job within the next week and go to an organization. He probably thought that was a Christmas gift because he's going to get fired. He's going to get the paycheck. He's going to get to choose his next destination. Not like, hey, Mike, what do you think about going to the abyss in Carolina? Just traded you for a future first-round draft pick down there. Like, they're probably just going to give away, just like they did last year with their first-round pick. Vrabel's going to go to a perfect situation, and he's going to win.
The inability to try to even be patient and do just a little bit of extra legwork to organize a trade that would benefit your organization, not just for 2024, but beyond, if you're going to take a step back as an organization to let go of Mike Vrabel, Vrabel ends up with the best end of this deal, getting to be that hottest commodity in this coaching carousel in the NFL. Now to the actual playoff team still in action. 14 around the National Football League, and the Pittsburgh Steelers will be without their best player. TJ Watt officially ruled out for Sunday's matchup in Buffalo against the Bills. We'll look at the playoff picture around the NFL up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NFL playoffs start in just 3 days with a doubleheader on Saturday to kick off Super Wild Card Weekend in the NFL postseason. We're going to look at playoff bets, the best of the best, with the best of the best in the 14 remaining NFL teams that now enter the postseason around the National Football League. So, Donnie, let's start with a quarterback conversation among the top two seeds in the AFC. It's the MVP frontrunner, Lamar Jackson, the quarterback for the number one overall seed in the AFC. Of course, that's the Baltimore Ravens. And then Josh Allen for the number two seed in the AFC, the Buffalo Bills. Who is going to throw for more playoff passing yards? There is a market for the quarterback in the entire playoffs that throws for the most passing yards this postseason. Neither of these guys booked as a favorite. That would be Dak Prescott for Dallas at plus 250. Hate that number, by the way. Lamar Jackson's at 8-1. He is tied for the fourth best priced alongside Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen shorter by $3 at plus 500. So what is the better bet? What is the best of the bets? Josh Allen leading the postseason in passing yards at 5-1, or maybe you're more intrigued by Lamar Jackson at an 8-1 price?
I'll take the higher price at 8-1 here. And they also have to factor in that there is a legitimate chance that if you look at the Buffalo Bills, they can play more playoff games overall, including the Super Bowl, than the Baltimore Ravens. Why? Because the Ravens had the bye. That's what we have to look at here. But also, that's why it's factored into the price. Wait, for 8-1 here on the MVP, of course I'm going to take that. Yeah, well, he might play technically one less game. Or even if you feel that the Buffalo Bills can upend those Baltimore Ravens, you get the extra game here, as I said here, on top of that for Josh Allen. But hear me out on this, why I like Lamar Jackson. It's not just saying, like, well, I think the Ravens will go farther. Sometimes you have to take a look at the statistical analysis of what you anticipate, Ben, coming up this weekend. If you look at the Buffalo Bills game going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers, now typically the Steelers haven't had a great season in the secondary, but what if I told you sub 20 degree temperatures with 25 mile an hour winds? That's going to impact your thought process, because then you might say it's lower scoring, we're playing field position. Hey, look at this. Stephon Diggs is wide open 40 yards down the field. I throw it up, you know, the middle of the field. It ends up on the sideline because the wind is just completely blowing it off term. That's actually why I like Lamar Jackson better than Josh Allen. If it was a clean slate here, and let's just say we had Buffalo this weekend, Ben. 46 degrees, 3 mile an hour winds, no precipitation. Of course I'm going Josh Allen. He's got a chance to throw for 300 yards. I just look at a playoff game with bad weather conditions and say, the last place I want to look, Ben, is to say, let me take a depressed price here on Josh Allen as opposed to Lamar Jackson, because Buffalo could win this game and he could throw for 89 yards in that win for the Buffalo Bills.
It's also correlation, by the way, to how far you expect these two teams to go in the postseason. Yes, Buffalo could play four games if they get all the way to a Super Bowl, as opposed to just the three the Ravens would play, but they're not mad about that. The flock is the number one overall seed in the AFC and booked as the favorites. Plus 125 for Baltimore. Buffalo, the second best number at plus 280. I also do want to say, Lamar Jackson, three of his last four games, throwing for at least 250 yards against the Dolphins. He threw for 321 against San Francisco, 252, more than 300 against the LA Rams. In those games, 10 touchdowns to one interception. Lamar Jackson is adding it up from a passing yards perspective down the home stretch of this NFL season. I would like Lamar's price at plus 800 more than that of Josh Allen. My favorite in that market, though, is Brock Purdy at plus 450. Second best number, but if you expect the Niners to do what the odds makers have anticipated all year long, and that's play and win a Super Bowl, Purdy should be able to add it up. But might a team get in San Francisco's way like Philadelphia did last year in the NFC Championship? Of course, that was Philly hosting the NFC title game as the number one seed in the NFC. This year, it's the 49ers as the number one overall seed, and Philly did not win its division. It will be a wild card team entering this postseason, having to go on the road opening weekend. Same for the Miami Dolphins as the sixth seed in the AFC on the road in Arrowhead. So best of the bets, with the same exact prices for the Dolphins and the Birds, Donnie, to win Super Bowl 58. 17-1 on Miami, 17-1 on Philadelphia. Which bet do you like more?
And then typically you probably would say to yourself, well, the Miami Dolphins at least have a chance to win some playoff games because they're not imploding. But I don't know. Does imploding meaning losing your last two games when you could have had the top overall seed and now you're in the same spot Philly is? I love the price points here, both tied at 17-1. But I think if you're honest with yourself and handicapping the situation, what comes to mind here, Ben, first? Well, one team's a four-point underdog. The other team is a three-point favorite here. So, of course, you would take the Philadelphia Eagles here just by the odd structure. It just makes sense to do that. Now, for myself, I normally would look, let's just remove the losses out of the equation, right, Ben? We don't know what we're going to get out of Jalen Hurts, but it looks like the finger injury on his throwing hand isn't all that bad. A.J. Brown, we'll get some updates from practice. We'll see if he goes this weekend. Same thing with Devonta Smith, who missed the Giants game, but we expect him to play this weekend. I do think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to beat Tampa Bay, but if you're taking a look at long-term, right, if Miami didn't lose, Ben, their top two edge pass rushers, if Miami didn't lose basically their entire linebacking core, I probably would be taking the Miami Dolphins because I actually like the Dolphins at a plus four price ticket here in freezing cold Arrowhead Stadium coming up this weekend. But we all know I love Tua at quarterback here. And if they're healthy at running back, they're explosive. And the same thing at wide receiver. But Ben, we know this. Defense wins championships here, or at least can get you to the next level. If you're in an environment where your defense needs to make stops, and I tell you six of your top, you know, front seven are going to be missing football games here down the stretch, that doesn't leave me with a lot of optimism here. So as much as I actually would like to take the Miami Dolphins, the odds tell me I need to take the Eagles, and also so do the injury reports, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely so. Completely agree. As I'm sure you shared yesterday, Andrew Van Ginkle and Jerome Baker for Miami out for this upcoming Saturday night in Arrowhead. It's supposed to be cold. It's supposed to be blustery inside Kansas City, Missouri. The Chiefs now a four-point favorite. Line opened at 3.5. The total at 44 and a hook. From a value perspective, it is Philadelphia. From a path perspective, it is Philadelphia as well. The Eagles now a full field goal favorite, even on the road to end off Super Wild Card weekend on Monday night against the Buccaneers. Now we go even further. The San Francisco 49ers, Donnie, for the last 2.5 months have been booked as the favorites to win a Lombardi Trophy in Super Bowl 58. The San Francisco 49ers are now a -130 odds-on favorite to win the NFC title this year. San Francisco expected, from the odds perspective, to be one of the two teams playing for a Super Bowl championship in Las Vegas in just about a month's time. So now we look at the Super Bowl MVP. Our guy, Tom Vecchio, told you the value just about 48 hours ago was on Christian McCaffrey, San Francisco's running back. But best of the bets to you, Donnie Wrightside, Brock Purdy to win Super Bowl MVP at plus 450 or run CMC at a 10-1 number.
Normally you'd say to yourself, well, the 49ers aren't going to win the Super Bowl. And I'm not talking about the run to the Super Bowl, Ben, the Super Bowl game itself with Brock Purdy throwing for 222, one touchdown and two interceptions, right? Oh, well, they had 32 carries out of their running back. I don't think that's going to be the case. But the one thing I do know is you head into the Super Bowl, what do you get, Ben? 2 extra weeks off. Christian McCaffrey is going to be shot out of a cannon. Now, also, I'm anticipating this calf injury not being as bad as what it's turned out to be, which doesn't look like it's going to be much, but we know how teams like to keep that under wraps. If I get a full go Christian McCaffrey into the Super Bowl, and the one thing we do know, let's just say it is the Baltimore Ravens. I don't know if we're going to get into a shootout type of situation because I know I'll coach handle those 2 weeks. It's a big moment here. It's, you know, an environment that most players aren't used to playing in where you might lean on Christian McCaffrey more. What's more likely in the suit? Like, honestly, is Christian McCaffrey going to get 11 carries for 22 yards and don't score a touchdown in the Super Bowl? No. We know he's going to get probably 20-plus touches in that football game, which will probably equate to multiple touchdowns, and that won't be a surprise by anybody. Oh, Christian McCaffrey went for over 100 and scored 2 touchdowns here in the Super Bowl? I'm actually going to take the 10-1 price. I agree with Tom Vecchio here. The value is on CMC here for me, Ben.
No doubt about it. When you look at the odds right now, Brock Purdy, despite playing quarterback for the favorite to win Super Bowl 58, isn't even the favorite to win the Super Bowl MVP. That's Lamar Jackson. And again, it's not a shot at Brock. It's just what the odds makers expect, knowing that the supporting staff in San Francisco, critical to the outcomes as well. More on the early line coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
for one final time this year, at the end of the 2023 college football season, we get the thoughts of the mouth in the South on a national championship game in Houston on Monday. It's Ben, it's Donnie, and now joining us, the man in the middle, it is Mark Zinno, to look back one final time at the conclusion of 2023 in college football. Michigan, a national champion, the number one team in the country, 34-13, the victory over Washington. Zinno, before we dive in, we welcome you on to this Wednesday live right here on the Early Line.
Ben, Donnie, great to be with you as always. As you notice, I wore a black undershirt here to mourn the end of the college football season as we say goodbye. What a great year it was. I won't get into how much I'm not looking forward to the 12-team playoff, but I certainly enjoy more college football, so I can't get mad at that.
Only 227 days away from the start of 2024, but sweeping changes before we get to the end of August and a new start in college football. Let's look back at the end of 2023. A 34-13 victory for the Michigan Wolverines in the national championship game. The Maize and Blue booked as a favorite in all 15 games, victorious in all 15 games, covering as a 5.5-point favorite in H-Town on Monday night. Just the fifth undefeated national champion at the end of the 10-year format of 14 teams in the college football playoff era. We'll continue with 12 next year. Zinno, as you focus on Monday in Houston, the Wolverines winning by 21. What was the story of the game in your estimation that resulted in that final outcome?
Well, I think Washington surprisingly didn't focus on the run early and couldn't stop it, right? And it almost played out similar to the game against Alabama, where you felt like Michigan probably should have been up by more at the end of the first half and really kind of separated much earlier in the game than what they did. And you got a little bit nervous as a guy who backed Michigan. You know, the game script, and I think we talked about it last week, where I thought like the over actually benefited Michigan despite how well they play on defense. Because the last thing you wanted to do is be in a one-score game late against the Washington offense that obviously could make a play. And I think we'll all look back at that holding call and the completion to Romeo Dunze that would have went for 32 yards really as the one of the major turning points in the game, because you feel like if Washington completes that, they might go down the field and tie the score up at 20, and then we have a brand new ball game. But, you know, I give credit to Washington, and a lot of people are sitting there saying this was a blowout. Was it really, though? I mean, Washington hung tough for about 3.25 quarters, right? I mean, it was just when they really had to press at the end and got out of their game plan that Michigan was able to take advantage. But, you know, again, I think Michigan got conservative in the second half. I thought they ran right up the middle way too much. It was just like, hey, you know, they wanted to sit on the lead and play defense, and it almost cost them. But it was a great game all around. I don't think anybody should be upset about it. And I think that at the end of the day, we realized for all the bluster we had about Michigan's defense going, oh, well, they didn't play anybody in the Big Ten offenses. Guys, you can really tell when a defense is different level. And Michigan was always different level defensively. And we saw that in display on the national championship.
Yeah, Mark, they were sensational in that football game. And you're right. It's like, well, they haven't seen a Michael Penix before. They haven't seen these three wide receivers. But you're right, the pedigree was always there throughout the season. The blueprint was Michigan's going to really get after it. And also, not having one of those gimmicky defenses where you're blitzing 7-8 guys every play. The front four got pressure, the defensive team, and also rated as one of the best tackling teams in college football. Let me ask you this question coming away from this football game. Forget about Michigan going forward. Let's take a look at the quarterbacks here. Michael Penix Jr. and J.J. McCarthy at the next level. I can't knock Michael Penix. Said, well, what did you want him to do? Throw for 430 yards against the Michigan defense? I thought he was fine in that game, but did miss some wide open plays. But talk to us maybe at the next level what we can anticipate from Penix Jr. and J.J. McCarthy.
If you're going to write a player's NFL draft review based off of one game, then you're not an NFL draft scout. Like, let's just leave it at that. So any indictment about Michael Penix and what he may be at the next level based off of one game is flawed. That said, I mean, I don't know, maybe from the third quarter on, didn't we see Michael Penix Jr. like holding his entire right side of his ribs? He looked like Apollo Creed in the first Rocky, where, you know, Rocky busted his ribs up. Like, I mean, protection not being there for Michael Penix was a big part of the reason why he didn't play all that well. And you can say, well, hey, at the NFL level, you know, pressure's there all the time. You got to be able to deliver. Sure you do. But again, you know, things are a little bit different. So I think Michael Penix's stock is still mid to late first round. I don't think that's changed at this point in time. But quarterbacks are always overdrafted. So if there's an early run and some trades come up, could he crack the top 10? Absolutely. And I don't think anybody would be wrong for doing it. I think at the end of the day, J.J. McCarthy is a second-day draft pick. And his accuracy, which was on full display. And oh, by the way, I mean, how many drops did we see Michigan have of the ball hitting guys right in the hands? That was like mind-numbingly infuriating, especially for somebody who had his passing yards over and thinking that, you know, they might have a shot. But you know, his accuracy is the one thing that's going to carry him. You know, putting the football on target is really important in the NFL, and that may be something that draft scouts really like, but I don't see McCarthy really cracking into the first round in any size, way, shape, or form. He's a second-day draft pick.
J.J. McCarthy is, like his head coach, a Michigan man. I would not be surprised in this offseason when the cloud of uncertainty over Ann Arbor and Jim Harbaugh's NFL future is decided if J.J. McCarthy returns to be the quarterback at Michigan in 2024. Next up, as we look at the ground game on Monday night, Dylan Johnson gutted it out, but it was clear he was not 100%, and the ground game really non-existent offensively for UW. On the other side, both Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards ran for over 100 yards. Both of those players pull off something in a CFP national championship game we had only seen two times prior in now the decade-long history of the college football playoff, becoming two of the four alongside Ezekiel Elliott and Derrick Henry to run for more than 100 yards and multiple scores in a national title game. And Zeno, that was really the recipe, right? We evaluate college football all year long. And when you think about how a team has its recipe for success, for Michigan, it was a very solid ground game led by Blake Corum, who ends with 27 rushing scores in 2023, one of the 25 most in a single season in the history of college football, in a really good defense. That was the story for the Maize and Blue all year long, put on display one final time on Monday in Houston.
Yeah, I mean, look, what can you say? The accolades about Blake Corum are well-deserved at this point in time, although, you know, sports books had priced him so heavily as an anytime touchdown scorer. Did you see these guys that where they weren't even offering a no? They weren't even offering a no, and he didn't get his first touchdown until what? The second half, right? It was it third or fourth quarter when he got his first touchdown.
Fourth quarter. Yeah, yeah. So late fourth quarter.
There are a lot of people who wager any time touchdown for Blake Corum who are a little hotter on the collar for a couple of hours while watching that game. Obviously, he ends up with two. But, yeah, I think when it comes down to it, you know, when you get it back this steady, and look what Michigan has built the last 3 years, the ability to beat Ohio State, the ability to get to the college football playoff. I mean, in college football, you can have a running back that literally changes your offense the way Blake Corum did for Michigan and put a team on his back for extended periods of time and help them win a lot of football games. And, you know, whatever Blake Corum is going to be at the next level will be undecided yet, but certainly one of the better college players of our lifetime that we've ever seen.
By the way, Mark, you take a look at the way Michigan wins football games. I love it, and I always compare it to like a really good 1988 state football team that plays great defense and hands the football off with the big shoulder patch. My question to you is, let's just see with Michigan moving into the future, if Jim Harbaugh does go to the NFL for a big ticket here, who would get that head coaching job, but also that Michigan way? Because the reason I bring this up is like Nick Saban goes, hey, this is really interesting. Like Michigan huddles, we don't see that, and that threw our game off on defense. It's so wild to hear stuff like that, but it's refreshing to see you can still win in an old school mentality. Where does Michigan go in the future if Jim Harbaugh is not the head coach anymore at Michigan?
Well, I mean, look, I think there's two ways you can go. I think you can look to do what everybody else is doing and find an elite high-level quarterback. And look, the structure of the Big Ten is going to change with new teams coming in, right? I mean, and we're going to find out if Big Ten defenses like Iowa, Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State are really going to be able to continue to reign supreme. When you start getting a different level of quarterback play into this conference, injected into it, the guys that Lincoln Riley can bring in as quarterbacks, guys that, you know, Chip Kelly can bring in as quarterbacks that may change the way things go. So I think that's going to change the construct, and you got to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. So you could go that route, or you could just do what Michigan does really well. And an interesting turn of events, guys, I know it would never happen, but wouldn't it be the ultimate heel move for Mike Vrabel to take the job at Michigan, the former Ohio State man to go walking Michigan and take the job there? Like the ultimate heel move of all time, Mike Vrabel walking in to Ann Arbor and Maize and Blue and coaching on the sidelines there. I'd love to see it.
I think Sherrone Moore, the offensive coordinator that, of course, served as the interim head coach or acting head coach for four games this year out of the six that Jim Harbaugh was suspended, would quickly be named the full-time head coach in Ann Arbor if Jim Harbaugh's NFL future is too alluring to pass up. Zeno, final minute of this segment before we transition to Super Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. Final AP top 25 of the year. I allow you one of two options, either to get mad at the final rankings or highlight a team or two to keep an eye on when 2024 gets started.
I mean, I'm not going to get mad. These things are rather ridiculous, but with Arizona moving, I would look to them with Noah Fifita at quarterback and the defense that they've put there. I think that's definitely a team that could make a lot of noise inside the top 10 going into next year. Again, their schedule is going to change. Things are going to look different. But that is a team that is built on both sides of the ball to really compete next year.
It will be fascinating to see where the new landscape of college football leads for teams joining the Big Ten, what the conference title odds look like, and, of course, Arizona, one of the four corner schools going to join the Big 12. From college football to the start of the NFL playoffs, Mark Zeno preview Super Wild Card Weekend up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Wednesday on the early line on Sports Grid, only 3 days out from the start of the National Football League postseason. We are going to preview all six games with the early lines here on the early line for Super Wild Card Weekend in chronological order. It's Ben, it's Donnie. Mark Zeno joins us for a second segment. Two games on Saturday, three more on Sunday, a Monday night football conclusion to Super Wild Card Weekend. Mark Zeno, are you ready? All six games of the opening round of the NFL playoffs about to be underway.
I mean, isn't it irritating how lucky the NFL gets when it comes to this stuff, right? Like, you know, it's Mike McCarthy going back against Green Bay. It's Matt Stafford in his first, or the Lions' first home playoff game in 30 years, and Matt Stafford is the opposing quarterback. It's kind of irritating sometimes to see how lucky the NFL gets when it comes to scheduling.
Storylines abound for Super Wild Card Weekend, including a reunion between Cleveland and Houston, where Deshaun Watson is not the quarterback for the Browns at this moment, but against the team that traded him away and got a ton of draft capital back in return and a bright future in H-Town. Led by the rookie quarterback C.J. Stroud, under rookie head man D'Amico Ryans, the Texans back into the postseason, their first AFC South divisional crown since 2019. They are the home team, but they are not the favorites to start off Super Wild Card Weekend on Saturday. Houston, a 2.5-point home underdog against the Cleveland Browns. You know, a spread under three. Just how competitive is the start of the NFL playoffs going to be?
It'll be competitive because I think it's going to be high scoring between these two teams. Look, I got in at over 44, right at that key total number of 44, because I knew it was going to go up here. I mean, this is a Cleveland defense, for all how good it's been. Their home road splits defensively have been jarring, and they're simply not as good on the road. That said, the Texans defense, which probably got away with a little bit against an inferior opponent in the Colts and a bad quarterback in Gardner Minshew last week, were the reason that they're in this game right now, because their defense has a lot of holes and is very suspect in the secondary and can be taken advantage of. Now, Joe Flacco all of a sudden has become this gunslinger that can throw the ball all over the place, but he's also a guy who's probably going to throw at least two interceptions in this game. Like, we keep forgetting what all is winning. If you go look at each box score of each game, you see Flacco throwing a couple of picks because, you know, he just lets it fly. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for points here on both sides. I don't think the Cleveland offense is going to be slowed down by the Houston defense. And I'm not sure the Cleveland defense will show up to be 100%, you know, in lockdown mode. And we know what C.J. Stroud can do, one of the best deep ball throwers in the league. If they give C.J. Stroud time, and that's really what it's going to be about. C.J. Stroud is one of the worst quarterbacks this year in the league under pressure. When he has time, that ball goes out down the field, and big things happen for Houston. So I think we get a lot of points here.
The Texans' time slot, no doubt about it. Every time they reach the playoffs, it's the very first game of Super Wild Card Weekend. I can't get enough of that statistic where they, again, are in their spot where they feel comfortable. You know, it's not going to feel comfortable this weekend. The fans, the players, the coaches, anybody who's on the field at Arrowhead Stadium this weekend. Why? A real field temperature here, Mark Zeno, of under zero. It is going to be freezing cold. No precipitation in the air, but we do have some light winds also coming into fruition. A total that has dropped from 47.5 down to 44, but a favorite here for the Kansas City Chiefs at -4. The thing I like about this game, too, is Kansas City had a de facto bye week last week. The Miami Dolphins played and lost to the Buffalo Bills and basically lost their entire linebacking core throughout the process of the past two games. What are we looking at this weekend here between Kansas City and Miami? Could Miami spring an upset in those freezing cold conditions, or is it Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes too much to be denied here?
I mean, isn't the record with Tua below 40 degrees like bad? Isn't that like a thing? Do we still qualify those things as a thing? But it feels like it is. Look, Miami, outside of being a team that we've seen repeatedly, every time they play a physical defense for this offense, for all the accolades it has, when they play a physical defense, they get smacked in the mouth and they look very, very small. Impotent, if you will. Like, they just don't have the same level of punch that they would against some of these softer defenses in the league. The Chiefs already put a hurting on Miami earlier this year. What's the reason to believe they won't do it again? Guys, I'm inclined to hit this Chiefs -4. I waited a little bit. I didn't jump into 3.5 because I was a little bit nervous, but now seeing where the money is coming in, and I don't think this thing ever gets back to 3.5. If anything, it goes to 4.5, maybe even 5 by kickoff, but Kansas City here, for all of their problems on offense, and it's not going to be a high-scoring game, their defense will do enough here to shut Miami down. I think Miami under 21.5 is a viable option as well for a team total, but Kansas City -4, they've not lost a home playoff game with Patrick Mahomes. It's not going to happen here.
The forecast is not optimistic for Saturday night, as Donnie shared. The forecast for the future of Kansas City this postseason might not be all that bright either, but you can see why the line is working. Not really because of the Chiefs, just how banged up the Dolphins are defensively and with some key offensive playmakers that had some rest to end out the regular season. Raheem Mostert and Jaylen Waddle, hopefully healthy for Saturday night for Miami, but on the defensive side of the football, it's not great. Same story for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Their best player, TJ Watt, officially listed as out for the first game of three on Sunday in Western New York. The Steelers and the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo's Zeno booked as a double-digit favorite, laying 10. Look at the total. Look where all the offense is expected. That's on the side of the Bills. 36.5 is that number. So Buffalo expected to win and win this game handily. Can they also cover as a double-digit favorite?
Yeah, they can. And look, I would tell you this much. I would look all towards the James Cook rushing yard props here. Right, I know we think it's Buffalo and they're going to throw the ball all over the place, but this is a game where it's ground and pound for the Buffalo Bills, and I think James Cook will have a huge day against a very soft Pittsburgh Steelers run defense. I know we don't typically think of the Steelers as a soft defense, but this is a team that was 21st in the league in yards per carry allowed at 4.3. They're not a great run defense this year. And even without TJ Watt there to set the edge, it could be a very big day on the ground. Now, look, I think Buffalo might get over this entire total by themselves. But that's what they're essentially telling you. The Steelers are probably not scoring more than 10 or 13 points in this game. At least what it feels like from that standpoint. So Buffalo all the way. Don't wait till it gets to 10.5. I think it'll be at 10.5 or 11 by kickoff. But if you really want to lay that kind of number, you have to do it at 10 here. But I back Buffalo.
Yeah, the second bit of those weather games here, 22 degrees at kickoff, 25-mile-an-hour winds expected here. Should be an interesting one here to see if those Buffalo Bills can continue to win. And they've been one of the hottest teams in football. Let's take a look at the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys from Jerry World. Mike McCarthy going up against his old foes in the Green Bay Packers. This line opened up Mark 7 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Now we see 7.5s across the board and a total of 50.5. I've liked what I've seen out of Jordan Love the past couple weeks, but Dallas at home usually is that formula for victory. Does Dallas win going away? Does Green Bay surprise here in this spot, Mark?
I think Dallas wins it. Oh, by the way, look, I think Dallas is a great teaser option with Houston this week. Take Houston to 8.5 and take Dallas down to 1.5 and get the heck out of Dodge with both of those teams. That said, I'm going to continue to attack the Dallas Cowboys at home the way I've done it all year long. Dallas Cowboys minus the points in the first half over, because Dallas scores a ton early at home and they score a lot in general, and this is the way to continue to attack this thing. It's a system that's worked repeatedly for me this year. And even if Dallas doesn't cover, it's sort of like a hedge to take the first half over, because if Dallas doesn't cover that 3.5 or 4, it's because Green Bay has done a lot of job scoring. Like this is not going to be a defensive first half. Dallas is going to get to them early, and they're going to have to hang on. And for as much as Jordan Love has played well, this is a different level defense that we're talking about here that Jordan Love has had to face in the past couple of weeks.
242.5, the passing yards, number 4, Jordan Love. As Donnie shared earlier in the show, that number has been on the rise in the last 48 hours, 273.5 on the other side. Green Bay held Minnesota to just 10 points in week number 17 in the regular season finale, holding the Bears to only 9. Prior to that, Green Bay had scored at least 19 in 6 straight games, and they allowed at least 19 points in 6 consecutive as well. 50.5 is a pretty high total already. I do expect some points Sunday afternoon at the Star. Sunday Night Football. You mentioned the storylines, Mark Zeno. None more than this. The first playoff game in the Motor City in 30 years. The Detroit Lions looking for their first playoff win since the 1991 NFL season. And returning is Matthew Stafford, a guy that spent the first 11 years of his NFL career in Detroit. Jared Goff's reunion against his former head coach in Sean McVay. Storylines, narratives, now the actual numbers for a football game. The Lions booked as a 3-point home favorite. The total is the highest of Super Wild Card weekend at 51.5. How do you break down the matchup between the Lions and the Rams?
Well, look, it's too short of a number for me to take the dog, right? And being the fact that it is Matt Stafford back in that building, it's almost kind of like hard, you know, to bet against him in this spot. Guys, I would attack this way. And sometimes you just kind of look for better opportunities here. Tell me the Rams aren't getting to 24 and then tell me why, right? Because their team total is 23.5. This is a bad Lions defense. We know that. Look at the total of this game, the highest of the weekend at 51.5. The Rams are going to have to do their part. Look, even if the Rams only have 17 in the fourth quarter and the Lions are up by 2 scores, isn't the opportunity for a backdoor touchdown late to get me over to 24 always on the table here? Even if the Lions are routing them, like, the Lions defense is not good enough to stop really anybody, any competent offense or competent quarterback. I mean, the Rams could easily get, you know, to 20 in the first half the way things look defensively for the Lions. So that's the way I'm attacking this game. Give me the Rams over 23.5 team total here against the bad Lions defense, and I could sit back and enjoy sort of the rest of the game as long as the Rams keep scoring.
Yeah, first bet I made this week, Mark, was Matthew Stafford over 1.5 touchdown passes at FanDuel at minus 112. This morning, it's now a minus 130 price. I think the Rams are going to have a very good offensive day in that dome here. Monday Night Football, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Don't look now, but the Philadelphia Eagles, a 3-point favorite over the home team, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and a total of 43.5. The question is simple. It's a new season, as we like to say, in the playoffs, but old bad habits usually carry over. Your opinions here for Philadelphia and Tampa Bay on Monday Night Football, Mark?
Listen, there's nothing more that I've enjoyed, and I think you guys have heard me tell everybody when the Eagles went to 7-1, 8-1, 9-1, that they were a fraud, that they were lucky, that they were not as good, that they were the Minnesota Vikings of last year, only to be proven right down the stretch. So as a Giants fan, there's nothing more that I enjoy than watching the Eagles and their fans suck. That said, I love the Eagles this week. I mean, look, they already pasted earlier this year. If you look at metrics here, who is the second worst yardage differential of any team in the playoffs? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who has the worst defensive yards per game allowed of any NFC team? Oh, it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who has the worst offensive rushing attack of any team in the NFC? Oh, it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In fact, they have the worst rushing attack in the NFL this year. Like, Philly has to just kind of hold it together defensively for, like, let's call it 3 quarters, and it should be fine. but this is a short enough number here where I can back Philadelphia. I missed a 2.5, but I'd still play it at 3.
Hold it together defensively are not words the Philadelphia Eagles have lived by in the final 2.5 months of this NFL regular season, allowing at least 20 in their final 10 games. We'll see about Monday night in Tampa. Mark Zeno, we appreciate the time as always. Back on the early line, look at the future of Bill Belichick next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rounding out our second hour, live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. It's Ben, it's Donnie, it's a Wednesday. Regardless of what day it is, you need the new Sports Grid app. I guess it's not so new anymore, but just the Sports Grid app. Available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store, or scan that QR code on your screen. In a matter of moments, all of our insight and information. A conversation, a discussion that I look forward to having with you, Donnie. But first, the public gets to add in their assessment. Will Bill Belichick stay in New England, or will he be somewhere else in 2024? That was the question in Sports Grid TV's Fade the Public poll. At Sports Grid TV on Twitter, will Bill Belichick coach the Patriots next season? Yes or no? Most of the public, Donnie, and who can really fault them, voting to the no. Nearly 71% of this Fade the Public poll. Let's start there. Is there any chance the public got this wrong?
No, I don't think so. I think the public is in tune with what we've been seeing all along. And quite frankly, why, Ben? It's a simple answer to this. Look at the New England Patriots. They could have doused these rumors weeks and weeks and weeks ago. Hey, we heard there was a rumor that if Bill Belichick loses X amount of games or this game here, he's going to be let go at the end of the season. We didn't see Robert Kraft come out and say, what are you guys, nuts? This guy's going to be an endless Patriot for as long as he wants to be here. End this now. They never put those fires out. And as we say, Ben, in the business, where there's smoke, yeah, there's probably fire.
Yeah, there certainly is. So then we take the conversation further, because I agree with Donnie. I agree with 71% of this Fade the Public poll. Bill Belichick's time in New England seems as though it is coming to a close. We'll discuss why, what the future could be for Bill, but more importantly, Donnie, what the timeline of this ultimate decision is going to look like. When will it be announced? On the end of Foxborough? Where will Bill Belichick look to go in the future? Either the National Football League or elsewhere. We'll discuss when hour number 3 starts in less than a minute, live right here on Sports Grid.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.